largest segment of society, to those who know that the world's religious, political, economic, military, and media institutions are corrupt, and that all of these things have become counterproductive. None of them can be fixed. Our phone number, if you would like to join us, toll free, 877-300-7645. Before we begin, Scott, so that you know, your mic is open, and we are hearing you over the radio this morning. Always charming to hear your voice, but we're going to turn to ISIS in the beginning of our program today. The latest video from ISIS shows that the Islamic group is actually indoctrinating its next generation of jihadists. This article says jihadist killers, fight-sized trainees who appear to be as young as five, participating in drills and reciting verses from the Quran. Now, if this writer, he or she, was an actual journalist, you know, there's some things that they could have done that would have been profoundly helpful. The first thing they could have done is realize that the one place where the West has eyes on the Muslim world, where the West knows exactly what is going on, is in Israel. And in the places where the majority are the occupants are Muslims, and where the Muslims are controlled by the PLO, which is Fatah, the Palestinian Authority, or by Hamas, we witnessed this exact same thing. And we have now for well over 40 years. There are countless videos online where you can watch children as young as 2 and 3 years old dressed up in jihadi outfits, marching with suicide vests, carrying imitation versions of AK-47s, holding knives, red dye on their hands symbolizing Jewish blood, citing verses from the Quran, and being indoctrinated to hate. There's a reason that Yahweh etched what he had to say in the second of three instructions in stone. Now, Christians have been hoodwinked into believing that the first one was absolutely meaningless because it's rendered meaningless by their truncated translations. It's an introduction to Yahweh, and it states explicitly that Yahweh himself is our Savior. It tells us what he is saving us from, which is the slavery of politics and religion. And it tells us that he is not going to tolerate anyone who is the little bit, even the slightest bit, religious. That if you're not willing to let go of false gods like Jesus Christ, like Allah, like Buddha. And I know that Buddha is officially a man and not a god, but it's the religion now has evolved to the point where the images of him are godlike. That if you are going to cling to those things, you're not welcome in heaven. And the reason for that is what we witness here. And the second statement that is etched in stone, it tells us that God's not going to tolerate anybody being religious. It goes through all of the aspects of religion. People, you know, going into to a building with religious imagery. People showing allegiance to carved images, like the Roman Catholics as they bow to their statue of Mary. And then they bow again before their crucifix. It says that images that are religious in nature, conversations that are religious in nature, ceremonies that are religious in nature, bowing down and religious service are an abomination to God. But then the next part of that is the portion that is applicable to what is happening here. Yahweh said that fathers corrupt their children generation after generation. And that is precisely what is happening in these Islamic State videos, which are exactly what's happening in the PLO, Fatah, Palestinian Authority videos. Fathers are corrupting, indoctrinating their children to hate, to be anti-Semitic, to be enraged, to blame their problems on everybody except themselves, to kill as the solution, as the first option to kill. And what you create is a thoughtless, mindless drone, a weapon, really. A humanized version of a weapon. A suicide bomber in waiting. A jihad killer. Programmed to do exactly that. Perhaps in the second hour today, I will go through a series of letters that were written to me by an individual trying desperately to leave the programming of Christianity. But one of the things that this individual wrote, or that we'll talk about in the second hour, is that their conversion experience seems so real to them. And don't you think that a suicide bomber has great passion for their religion? They've been programmed since childbirth to respond a certain way. And so when surrounded by that religion, surrounded by the religious, hearing those same religious edicts, they're programmed to respond. It's very real to them. If it wasn't real to them, if that emotion, if that rage, if that killer instinct in the case of Islam wasn't so pervasive, there is no way you could convince any animal to kill for a religious purpose, to murder innocent people in the name of a wannabe God. But what we're witnessing in the Islamic State is the exact same thing that we have seen throughout the ages in culture. You know, with Hitler, it was the Nazi youth, and Nazism and Islam are very, very similar. With the Soviet Union, they began in grammar school. And they had their little scout troops that were programmed to despise free enterprise, to despise the West, to despise representative government, and to shout the accolades of communism. That was the purpose of Mao's little red book and all the little children that were indoctrinated by their parents to behave this way. It begins right there. But the interesting thing here, of course, of all of this is that you've got the idiot president of the United States, the abomination, telling us the Islamic State is not Islamic. And yet he's not able to cite anything from the Quran that would disassociate the Islamic State from Islam. And yet, the Islamic State is indoctrinating next year's jihadist killers by having them recite verses from the Quran. But this all gets back to the essence of the problem. The host of religion are human beings. Religion and human beings become essentially inseparable. If you want to wipe out the negative effects of a criminal enterprise, of a declaration of war, of a terrorist manifesto, as is Islam, Islam has absolutely no redeeming qualities. It was founded to plunder others. Muhammad was the most repulsive man who ever lived. It is based entirely on his example, and he was reprehensible in every possible way. Throughout its history, it has destroyed everything that it has touched. But sadly, even though the enemy is the religion itself, the religion takes host in humans. It's a sort of like Ebola in a way. And that Ebola is a disease that comes from others. It's passed on through contact. But once it takes up residence in a person, the person itself becomes almost inseparable from the disease. That person becomes the contagion. And that is the case with Islam. It's passed on father to son. And the only way that you can eradicate a disease as deadly, as malignant, as paralyzing, as stupefying as Islam, is to quarantine its host. You can't fix the person who has suffered in a lifetime of indoctrination and this disorienting malignancy. There is no cure for Islam. But you can quarantine it, just like you can Ebola. And if you were to quarantine it, then the numbers that can be passed on, the contagion of the disease, is hugely truncated. And that's in large part for two reasons. One is that the disease of Islam, like is the case with cancer, it's parasitic. It destroys its host. And so if Islam is left to its own devices, if it can't plunder others, if it can't feed off of others, if it can't use the inventiveness and prosperity of others to fuel its rage, it dies. It starves to death. And because it isn't going to change, because it trains, indoctrinates Muslims to die killing others, they will kill each other off. All you have to do is isolate Islam, and it'll die. It will kill itself. We'll be back. This 9-minute video that was released by the Islamic State shows 70 camouflage-clad kids who are reportedly the children of foreign jihadists who have flocked to Iraq and Syria to join the Islamist army. The army of the caliphate. An instructor states in Arabic that most of the children are in the second phase of training and that they represent the next generation of the Islamic State. The video illustrates the change, the charge in the UN report that determined that the Islamic State has established training camps to recruit children into armed roles under the guise of education. End quote. Then why isn't the United Nations saying the same thing of the mythical people known as the Palestinians? Why aren't they decrying that? Why aren't they stating the same thing that is occurring in Lebanon? Why aren't they saying the same thing of the indoctrination that occurs in every Islamic country? But particularly where the facts are well known. I mean, the United Nations assists and funds, because they have no money, the so-called Palestinian schools. They know what's happening there. Why don't they speak out against it? Why don't they condemn it? Why do they continue to take the sides of those that they know are indoctrinating people, young children, to hate, to kill? And it's not just to hate, but it's to kill. You know, I understand that there are some Westerners, some even in America, that are racist, that some percentage of the population doesn't like Jews, that some percentage of the population is anti-immigration because they don't like Hispanics. I understand that there are some that don't like blacks. I understand a lot of blacks that don't like whites. I understand that to grow up in a racially charged household, that you're largely likely to become a racist. I understand that's the case. But there's nothing like Islam. Because Islam is not just anti-Semitic. Islam is not just racist in the sense that you give Arab Muslims charge over African Muslims and they'll annihilate the African Muslims. It's not just racist, but it's universally intolerant. If you give the Islamic State charge over Arab Christians, they'll annihilate them. If you give the Islamic State control over Arab Zoroastrians, they'll kill them. They'll rape the girls, enslave the boys, and murder the men. Rob them of everything they have. So there are ubiquitous killing machines. It's so funny to see that coexist bumper sticker. I saw one yesterday on the back of a car with a moron touting it, being clueless as to the fact that Islam is not just intolerant of every other symbol that they have, but any time that Islam is in charge, it will annihilate all who are different, including other Muslims. If they're racially different or if their views on Islam are slightly different than their own. But you see, it's not just that Islam takes this hatred to a ubiquitous position. They're not just hating other races. They're not just hating other religions. They're not just hating the non-religious. They're not just hating variations of their own religion. They're indoctrinated to kill those who differ. And that's what makes these movies of the little jihadist future killers trained by reciting the Quran verses so problematic. It's why the only cure for Islamic terrorism is to quarantine Islam, to stop doing business with it. That's it. You can't fix this. You need to understand what it's all about. I think there's nothing more important for Americans to recognize than what it did today and increasing its bombing runs on the Islamic State, because the Islamic State kidnapped and is now raping some 200 Assyrian Christians. That's exactly what the Islamic State wanted. That's why they did it. You see, in Islam, you have to die. You have to be killed abusing others to enter paradise. I'd like to switch gears on you. There's an interesting story that appeared in on a number of articles. I'm going to share this one from the Washington Post that is extraordinary in what it reveals. It says some 12.8 billion light years away, astronomers have spotted an object. Now, 12.8 billion light years away, they're now claiming the universe is 13.7 billion years old. It was 13.3, and they added 400 million years based upon the microwave radiation that is emanating from the Big Bang. The problem with all of that is that the microwave radiation, the stretching of the wavelength, is from the moment that energy coalesced into matter. Prior to energy coalescing into matter, time did not flow. And so you can only measure from the time that energy cooled to the point that it could be reduced to matter. And so I don't know how much time prior to the 13.7 billion years that occurred. You know, my best guess is probably closer to that the initial bang, the release of energy that used to create what he called himself called the Big Bang was closer to 15 billion years ago. The scientific measurement of 13.7 is not possible based upon what has just been discovered. It says that some 12.8 billion light years away. Now that means that this is away from us. That means if we are the absolute center of the universe, this is at the edge of the universe. Now, if we're not the center of the universe, it's puzzling. Astronomers have spotted an object of almost impossible, in fact, not almost, of absolute impossible brightness. The most luminous object ever seen in such an ancient place. It's from just 900 million years after the Big Bang. And the old quasar, a shining object produced by a massive black hole, is 420 trillion times more luminous than our sun. 420 trillion times. Now, the problem with this, folks, is that black holes are the result of dying stars. That's how a black hole begins. A star burns up all of its fuel, and once it burns up all its fuel, that energy that is repulsive in nature is no longer able to overcome the influence of gravity, and the star goes from a massive size and it coalesces into a very tiny size of unimaginable density. And that's how a black hole is formed, and then that black hole can suck in other surrounding stars and become ever more massive. But for a quasar to produce light that is 400 trillion times bigger than our sun, this had to be an enormous star, which means that a star with that much size, that much mass, should have been able to burn and therefore not turn into a black hole for at least 10 to 12 billion years. And yet this one, according to their measurements, had to become a black hole within a billion years of the time the universe experienced the Big Bang, when energy coalesced into matter. Not possible. It's just absolutely not possible. When we're not talking about a large star, we're talking about a star so enormous we can't even fathom the size of it. And it would have had fuel to keep on burning, and yet it's not. And turned into a black hole. Completely destroys the timeline of the universe. It says that the scientific understanding of the universe is completely wrong. The brightness and size is surprising. Surprising, yeah, unexplainable. And a black hole forms so close to the dawn of time. Now, it is formed close to the dawn of time because we can measure the time that time began. And time began when, not with the initial release of light energy, but when light energy cooled and coalesced into matter. The new study published Wednesday in Nature describes this comet light that defies all scientific convention. It was even detectable with a relatively small telescope, though researchers in China did have to ask for help from astronomers in Chile and the United States to get a higher resolution look. How could we have, this is a quote, this massive black hole when the universe was so young? We don't have an answer. We don't even have a theory to explain it, said the author of Peking University's research paper on it. For the black hole to grow to such a staggering size in less than a billion years, the astronomers surmise, it must have been pulling an interstellar mass from the surroundings at a maximum rate the whole time. But it was a star. It had its own nuclear engine. And if it, as a star with a nuclear engine, continued to pull in other stars, it would have just become a more massive nuclear engine. There are puzzles to be solved. For now, The teams on it are using the brilliant quasar as a beacon to find other similar objects. It's just like a lighthouse sitting in a dark, distant universe. It gives us a chance to see things in between our own planet and the black hole by illuminating them. It provides, and this is really interesting, so this is a brilliant black hole. You know, black hole is an object that is so dense that light itself cannot escape the influence of gravity. And yet, this is a black hole with a quasar associated with it that is more brilliant in terms of illuminating and sending out light energy, that it is 400 trillion times more brilliant than our sun. So it's an anomaly all the way around. Wu said that his team will conduct many follow-up observations over the coming year to try to make sense of all of this. But all it does is demonstrate that mankind really doesn't know. And that this certainty that is promoted in textbooks about how the universe is, you know, it used to be 15 billion years old to 16 billion, and now they say 13.7, 13.8 billion years old, that's just a theory. Just a theory. Now, do I think that the universe is somewhere in the 15 billion year age? Absolutely, because when you do the math according to relativity, it means that we're still living in the sixth day from the perspective of the Creator at creation. That's the nature of time being stretched to 10 to the 12th power. So, I think they're in the ballpark. But this idea that scientists has somehow come to understand the creative event and the timeline from that moment here is just not true. And the biggest issue they have, of course, is that in the scientific models, something in the range of 95%, I've forgotten if it's 94 or 96%, of the energy and matter, and they're the same thing, they're just a different form of the same thing, in the universe is unknown. Absolutely unknown. It is outside our ability to detect, and yet we know of its influence. So our calculations are wrong by about 95%. Now, if you were to turn in an answer in a grammar school paper where your math was errant by 95%, that your answers were 95% wrong, you're going to fail that class. And that's where we are in terms of our understanding of the universe. We know a fair amount, about 5% of the universe. And 95% of the energy and matter in the universe is unknown to us. We don't even understand this interplay between the notion of relativity, where gravity is an effect, and of the calculations that are provided through the, you know, math of best guesses, calculus, as to gravity being a force. We have to be really careful. And that's one of the problems that scientists just don't have. They're not careful in this regard. You know, you'll read everything, and every statement presents evolution as a fact, and yet microevolution is as misleading, is as presumptuous as our understanding of the early universe and the facts in it. Where evolution is, again, like reporting on the 5% we know and omitting the 95% we don't know. I have no issue of microevolution. That's the 5% we know. It's the 95% we don't know that makes the statements regarding evolution presumptions, faith, part of the science, the religion of science. And that is exposed here in this black hole dating to within 900 years of the transition of light into matter. And it's pervasive too. It's, for example, this notion of global warming being presented, and then they realize that, well, there's no evidence for global warming, and so perhaps we need to change it. We'll make it climate change, which is can be presented as a scientific theory where we're only reporting 5% of the facts. You know, the 95% of climate change, global warming, is the long history of our planet with these 600-year cycles of warming and cooling that are well-known and well-proven and wholly ignored. And that's 95%. The fixation of the control mechanism that is known as global warming and now climate change is the 5%. That's what's happening here. This black hole represents the 95% that we're clueless about. And it's in conflict with the 5% that we are professing as scientific fact. We just have to be really careful that we don't extrapolate too far, that we don't push our conclusions too far, that we don't think that man has all the answers, because the fact is, we don't. The lead story right now on CNN just shows you how stupid the President of the United States is. Stupid or disingenuous? Dishonest, probably. Misguided. It reads that investigators believe that the Jihadi John, masked jihadist, who confronted us in one of the Islamic State beheading videos, is a British man named Mohammed Imwazi, two U.S. government sources said on Thursday. Now, the very fact that the U.S. has been focusing on who the person speaking is, as if that mattered, the personalization of this to an individual, if that matters, shows how lost the NSA and CIA are in this regard. The FBI are in this regard, that they're put resources trying to identify the masked individual speaking as if you're going to personalize the problem as opposed to recognize that the person is speaking for a religious entity. But the second is that in all of this, the Obamanator has been telling us that the solution is economic opportunity. He says that the reason that these individuals are radicalized is that there's no economic hope in their cultures, and they become easy prey to the extremists. In this notion that what the West ought to do is invest and create jobs in the Islamic world, and that somehow will change this outcome, and they won't be radicalized. It's the mentality of the communist that says that they can indoctrinate everyone to turn out the way that they wish them to be. Well, this individual, he was born in Kuwait. Now, I've told you that Kuwait is an enemy, that the Kuwaiti government, and it's not really a government, Kuwait is a private state, as is Saudi Arabia, as is Qatar, as are all of the Emirates. They're private estates. That the private estate that is Kuwait indoctrinates its citizens to be fundamentalist Muslims and therefore jihadists. It's a huge proponent of Islamic terrorism. That he was born in Kuwait from a very and comes from a very prosperous family in London. Born in Kuwait and comes from a very prosperous family in London, where he grew up and graduated with a computer programming degree. So it just absolutely destroys. This was, you know, the Obamanator's big speech of we're not at war with Islam and laughing about that, and that, you know, we're at war with violent extremism, and the solution is to invest in these cultures so that it makes it more difficult for the extremists to recruit young people and to indoctrinate them to be extremists. No, he was educated as a fundamentalist Muslim in a fundamentalist Islamic country, came from a very prosperous family. As that family moved to London, was very well educated in the West, and is now creating beheading videos. Now, the other part of this, of course, is amazing, is that rather than the CIA tell us that the beheading video was a fake, that it was shot on a green screen, that it was photoshopped, they know they want to tell us who the individual was that was the spokesperson in this case. The video is released, it says, by the Islamic State. The black-clad militant brandishing a knife and speaking with an English accent is made to appear that he has decapitated hostages, including Americans, Britons, and Syrians. The Washington Post said Imwazi, who used the videos to threaten the West and taunt leaders such as the Abominator and British Prime Minister Cameron, was believed to have traveled to Syria around 2012 to have joined the Islamic State. You know, the big push now in Europe, in France and Great Britain and Denmark, is to preclude Muslims from going to Syria to be part of the Great Jihad. And it's the opposite of what we should be doing. We should be hurrying them on their way. If they want to go, we should be escorting them out of town. And a lot of them are young teenage girls who are now, you know, nothing but sex slaves. Been indoctrinated in this ridiculous, despicable, disgusting religion. And now they want to go over there and do their part. And now they're sex slaves. We ought to let them go. If they want to die in the name of their religion, let them. Get them out of your country. That's the best way to disinfect it. That's the reality. I'm Yada. We'll be back after the break.